Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hey, everybody. Doug Loves Movies is coming to Sweet Home San Diego tomorrow, Saturday. You know, depending on when you listen to this, July 31st, 420, American Comedy Company. Check out You Don't Know Doug on Instagram and at Doug Loves Movies on Twitter to see videos of the prizes that I'm going to be giving away. And enjoy the show.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love men, 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 men.
Thanks, as always, to our presenting sponsor, OCB Rolling Papers. OCB only uses natural acacia gum for an always-sticks experience. Enjoy the show!
This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from... I'm doing shows in front of live audiences, but these Zoom shows still seem like, you know, better, safe way to do things. With another Homes Alone edition, it's Thursday, July 29th, 2021, and this is this month's bonus or extra episode. We preempt Wide World of Doug's for one show a month to bring you one more Doug Loves Movies. Sometimes this is a standalone edition. Sometimes it's themed. Sometimes it's not. I've got a theme for today, and I'll share it after I say the names of my guests. They are Mark Ellis, Ben David Grabinski, and Greg Wyszynski. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. Hello.
Always a pleasure, Mr. Benson.
Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically. Mark Ellis is here. Schmodown. What do you know down?
I'm sorry, Greg. I didn't make your last name.
It's bringing back PTSD from elementary school. Okay, so.
Hey, look, having an E last name is a pretty sweet spot to be in because you're never the first kid. So you get a couple opener kids, and then teacher calls your name and you're like ready to go. You can crack a joke. It really, the E last name opens up a world of possibilities. Doug, it's a pleasure to be joined by you once again. And the last time I was on your show, I was in the great city of Seattle. And now, as it happens, I'm once again in the great city of Seattle.
Oh, okay. It is a great city.
It's awesome.
I'm glad
it's not raining right now.
Yeah, that's good. They've had a bit of a stretch there of no rain. It's been strange. You'd think there's some sort of change happening to the climate.
What? Like there's something different than there used to be.
Yeah, it's strangely changing, but you know, in a good way if you're there visiting. Because boy, I was up in the Pacific Northwest, and the weather was nice and warm and sunny the entire time. It didn't rain a drop, but like when you turn on the TV, they're like, oh my God, what's happening? Will we ever have rain again? You know? So it's nice to visit, but it's weird. It's, you know, people there aren't used to it.
Yes. I highly recommend Seattle before the apocalypse to all of your listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good spot. You are a dangling champion on the show. I believe that means that you won on a particular episode and couldn't come back on the next show. So I've just been waiting to slot you back in. Does that feel familiar?
That sounds right. And that sounds like really the Mark Ellis life story, dangling champion, where he just couldn't show up to get his trophy.
Yeah. Well, you're, you know, going to be up against it today because we have going for his fifth win in as many shows consecutively, potentially tying Claire Kramer's record setting run if he wins today. It's Ben David Grabinski. Hello, Ben David.
Hey, it seems like you brought in like professional trivia people to play me this time. So I'm a little worried. Like, as much as I may have a benefit for my last name ending with ski, which I didn't really track that discussion, I feel like today it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I think I've challenged you again and again, and you rise above the challenge every time. If this was a sporting event or a, you know, trivia schmodown, Mark Ellis would really be talking it up the way that he does. That reminds me of a question for you, Mark. Why aren't you you know, hosting a diarrhea slip and slide show?
Well, I mean, the pitch is there. We're waiting to hear back from the suits. And look, here's the thing people got to remember is that, yes, I co-created a really cool trivia show, the movie Trivia Schmodown, but I haven't competed in it in like 5 years. I just asked the questions. And so when you ask the questions and you have the answer right in front of you, it actually makes you dumber at movie trivia. So I've had 5 years of increasingly being a moron when it comes to film. So I barely remember anything now. If that makes Greg or Ben David feel any better.
Yeah, this is a real can Drew Carey win the pricing games scenario we're watching here.
Drew Carey would kill it.
They should do that at the Olympics, is have before each event, have before they perform their event, the person explain why they'll lose if they lose.
I think they should actually have the judges should do the competition before it starts. That's what it should be.
Yes.
The people who are like usually giving them a 10, that's like, see how good you can do it, chump, and just see how that goes.
Also joining us, frequent guests on the show, don't know how many wins. Also, he likes hockey. It's Greg Wyshynski. Hey, Greg.
I mean, hockey is kind of a career, Doug. I am the senior hockey writer for our friends at ESPN. Frequent guest on the 12 Guests of Christmas show.
Yeah,
for you.
And, well, that's what I'm saying, is you straddle both worlds, and you do it beautifully for a hockey enthusiast. You also just seem to know as much about movies, and so that's always fun to have you on the show, because you're competitive, but you know, have some limitations. What would you say your limitations are as a movie trivia person?
Should I be telling you this?
I guess not.
Definitely Star Wars and Marvel movies. Don't ask me a damn thing about those things, Doug. I don't know.
Okay. Right.
I love doing the show. I think probably like one of the few sports adjacent people that you've had on the show, correct?
Yeah, it happens sometimes. Ooh, I just saw a professional wrestler that follows me, so I'm going to maybe track him down and see if he wants to, you know, do this show, because he probably, you know, even the WWE probably has rules against, you know, smoking weed. He'll probably want to be on the movie trivia show and not the pot show. But
Is it a WWE wrestler, or is it one of the wrestlers that wrestles in matches where they're breaking each other with like fluorescent bulbs? Because those guys probably could go on the weed show, I'm guessing.
I think there should be like a wrestler who's like Weed Man, who's just too stoned to compete. Like, that's like a really good opportunity.
Yeah, the trouble is they'd still want to like hit you over the head with a folding chair or something. Like, you'd still have to be able to take it, even if you didn't fight anybody. Because, you know, just showing up and being a non-fighting character is really it's an uphill battle in the world of wrestling.
After seeing the movie The Wrestler, though, I got to think literally every wrestler that ever lived has to have some sort of relationship with marijuana after a match.
Oh, I'd imagine.
Well,
just that or painkillers or both.
I just watched 2 full seasons of Dark Side of the Ring, which is all about all the dark sides of the ring. Yeah. And it feels like every single wrestler drank a lot and was addicted to prescription meds. So it'd be a lot cooler if there was just like a lot of like, oh yeah, he was just high all the time. But no,
Wrestling movie news this week, Doug, that Vince McMahon himself is making a film about Vince McMahon and his steroid trial in the 1990s. That's a very exciting thing. Fantasy casting Vince McMahon in a Vince McMahon movie.
Oh, that's going to be unbiased and impartial. I am a big sports fan, though, Doug. So I don't work in professional sports like in the same capacity Greg does, but everybody up here in Seattle is very excited about the Kraken. So,
damn
Greg,
right.
What's the over under? How many years do the Seattle folk have to wait before their first NHL Stanley Cup?
Well, the last team that we invited into the league, as Doug knows, was the Vegas Golden Knights, and they made the Stanley Cup final in their first season. But there's
those Golden Knights, look at them go.
But there's a healthy amount of skepticism that maybe the Kraken haven't done as well as the Golden Knights in amassing their talent in the expansion draft. So I would say 3 or 4 years. But here's the thing about the Kraken. Great name, also movie adjacent. But they had the absolute perfect hockey name that they didn't take, which is the Seattle Sockeyes. It's a fish and also people punching each other in the face.
Yeah, but given the history of hockey fans, they would have been throwing Sockeyes on the ice before, during, and after literally every game. I'm excited because it is movie adjacent, Doug, the Kraken. And I will put any amount of money on this. Opening night in October, when all the lights go down to introduce the home team, they're going to play like a cool montage to pump the fans up. They're going to play that. That's the last thing you're going to see before they introduce the team is Liam Neeson saying, "Release the Kraken." I guarantee it.
If it was the Sockeyes, the logo would be a fish with a black eye, right?
Right.
That would be pretty dope.
Be pretty dope, right?
Yeah, that's
all. Right, but can't you just sort of underground it and like make it like, you know, you could lead the charge to just everybody referring to them as the Sockeyes, whether they like it or not.
You could do that,
especially or not.
You know, and then, you know, go down to, you know, Pike Place and, you know, doctor videos so that people are walking away with black eyes from getting hit in the face with fish.
Perfect. Perfect. By the way, Mark, based on his last like 4 or 5 releases, I'd say there's probably 3-1 odds that Liam Neeson shows up for the home opener based on his
movie. Yeah, you just got to make sure there's snow. If there's snow on the ground, Liam Neeson wants to be there.
Oh, I like it.
It's wild how every movie he's in has a wintry setting. And what does he do in the summers?
He goes to shovel the driveway and there's no snow there. And he curses the sky.
Yeah, he sure does. Oh, my God. I think someday somebody, I mean, maybe they already have a supercut of every time Liam Neeson has explained to someone that they're dying and talked them through the process. It's pretty amazing. And he does it in more than one genre. But we have to take a break already. But when we get back, we're going to visit Recommendation Nation right after these messages for you.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie.
Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. Time to go to Recommendation Nation. Ben David Grabinski, you know this is coming. Your choices are always excellent movies, but controversial. River's Edge at press time was kicking ass in the poll, and you picked that last show. So congratulations on that. What's your recommendation today?
I'm still tempted to recommend Happily, but I won't. So what I'm going to recommend this week is A Fish Called Wanda.
Nice.
Oh, speaking of fishes and black eyes, holy crap.
Yeah, man. It's got really everything. I don't know if it has sockeyes in it, because I don't know what the fuck a sockeye is, but it could be, because there's a lot of actual fish. Oh, it's a salmon? Right. Yeah. Man, I am just fucking fish illiterate.
But Terry Palin does have a black eye at one point.
I believe he does.
Yeah.
He
gets messed up.
So A Fish Called Wanda is a caper movie with a lot of Monty Python people. You got John Cleese, Jamie Lee Curtis, famously not part of Monty Python, and Kevin Kline at his absolute best. It's one of the funniest movies ever made, and it's about people who rob some diamonds, and then a fish swallows the diamonds or something. Anyway, the whole point is Kevin Kline is really, really funny as a dumb American who doesn't want to be considered dumb. And I think it's actually the funniest John Cleese. And anything I could say about it, if you're like one of five people who hasn't seen it, I just don't want to ruin any of the jokes. But I guarantee you'll laugh a lot. And if you don't, I don't know what's wrong with you. So Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? Might be just watching it at home alone. Cause I don't think it's like a laugh, you know, it's not one of those constant laugh movies. It's all based in, you know, situations and, the characters. And it's, Kevin Kline won Best Supporting Actor for, I believe it might be his only Oscar for that. And he's one of the best. But it's, not for animal lovers.
Yes, it is. I mean, as an animal lover, that is both funny and also not at all funny.
Yeah, it hits extra hard in both directions.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, I believe, you know, amusingly enough, I think Padgett Brewster on a previous episode, not the one she was on with you, Ben David, but another one, I believe Fish Called Wanda was her choice. So it is... continuing to live on and get referenced, and that's always nice. Mark Ellis, recommend a movie.
Well, based on A Fish Called Wanda, I'm tempted to take the follow-up that some of the Monty Python members attempted called Mom and Dad Save the World, but it just wasn't all that good. So I think I'm going to go with the movie. My last theater movie was I got to go to a advanced screening of the M. Night Shyamalan movie Old. And I really liked it. I thought it was cool. It was good filmmaking. The cast played their roles very well. It was unnerving, and I liked the how the story winds and zigs and zags.
Okay. It's nice to hear that it has more than one zig, it sounds like.
Zigging and
sounds
zagging.
Sounds like it's zigs and zags and maybe zigs again. You know, M. Night Shyamalan, people love to... M. Night shit all over him, but he's, he's made some really good movies. I think he just, I don't know. I just think getting, just being the twist person is just such a weird thing to be stuck with, you know?
And, yeah. Yeah. It's a tough thing. You always feel like you got to live up to it, but like, cause he had like such a decline for a minute, but then he just made a par putt with The Visit. And I really liked The Visit. And I thought that was like, oh, this is the guy again. And since then he's kind of like stuck to what he knows audiences sort of expect with his movies, but he's done it in unique ways with every subsequent film. And so I like having people like that have success because it's always a sort of event when you get to go see one of their movies.
Okay. It's officially your recommendation. I just want to circle back to the unofficial sequel to A Fish Called Wanda was Mom and Dad Save the World.
Well, it had Eric Idle in it. And I can't remember who else. Was it Michael Palin? Somebody else.
I mean, it was John Lovitz. Yeah, it was John Lovitz and I think like Terry Garr or something. But the thing is, there really was kind of an unofficial sequel that did have the same four people called Fierce Creatures, I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why I was thrown by. I didn't know if you were making a joke or you were just, it couldn't be more wronger.
Well, sometimes it's both.
Yeah. Greg Wyszynski, what's your recommendation today?
I'm happy that we're not doing the last movie you saw a bit, because then I'd have to say Mortal Kombat, and I don't want to talk about that movie.
I don't either.
It was a rough one for a man of my age. So I'm gonna go back. I've always wanted to talk about this movie on this podcast, actually, because I really love it, and I don't know if anybody remembers it. So in the vein of Spinal Tap, there was a parody documentary, or mockumentary, as it were, called The Making of And God Spoke. It's 1993. Oh, man. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I've seen it.
1993. It's streaming. You can get it on like Apple and stuff. And it's basically a parody of these two guys making a biblical epic. And not all of it works. There's a lot of really funny stuff in it. Like they run out of money and have to start putting product placement into their biblical epic of like, you know, cans of Coke and stuff. And it's got a really weird ass cast. Soupy Sales, Lou Ferrigno, and Eve Plum from the Brady Bunch are in it. And if you like the mockumentary stuff, if you like the Christopher Guest stuff and the Spinal Tap stuff, you might want to check this out. It's a really weird, fun movie, but it's one that I always really enjoyed, and I feel like it's kind of been lost to time because it came out in like 93.
Yeah, and has that title. Like, that's not a catchy title. What's it? How, say it again.
It's called, I believe the full title is The Making of And God Spoke, but you might be able to also find it as And God Spoke. And again, it's just a really fun, cheesy kind of Hollywood satire that has some really big laughs in it for sure. I really enjoyed that flick and have caught up with it in the last few years, and it still kind of holds up.
All right.
Soupy Sales. That's,
yeah.
That's,
I mean, Hollywood legend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was called Soupy because he got that nickname as a little kid because his older brothers all had nicknames that had a similar cadence to them, and it wasn't because like his fondness for soup or anything actually soup related. It was just a sound thing. Great story, Doug. Listen, we got to go to another break. That's what I was thinking about, is like, what would be more interesting than this story I'm telling right now? Oh, I know, another advertisement for something that the listeners need. So thank you for your recommendations. Games are next. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back and it's game time. Let's start with something called How Long Is It? It's a popular game on the show where I'll name a thing and then each of you guess how long it is. Now, we're going to start with Mr. Ellis and then go to Ben David and then to Greg. And just remember, this is sort of a warm-up game. It's not that important to win. You just get to go first in the next game, which isn't always necessarily an advantageous position.
Do you want me to try or not? Do you want me to? It seems like you want me to sandbag this answer, Doug.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, because the next game, maybe it's advantageous to go last. So maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's not, to be honest, I don't feel like there's a true, it's more a luck of the draw deal with this next game, like first or last. I don't know if that really is going to matter.
Well, it really doesn't matter for me anyway, because I want to win everything. So
yeah, you want to go first if you're going to absolutely know answers to things, but the questions are not easy. So it's sometimes better to just lay back and get the point by letting the other person fail. You know what I mean? But in this particular game, closest without going over wins, Price is Right style. Mm-hmm. And the question today, the thing I want you to tell me how long it is Forrest Gump's epic run. Remember how in the movie there was a period of time where he ran and he ran and he ran. And then they told us out loud exactly how many years, months, days, and hours the Forrest Gump character ran back and forth across the United States. So in years, months, days, and hours, if you want to be that specific, how long was it starting with Mark Ellis?
Oh my God.
Now realizes that going first is not always a good thing.
I thought you were going to ask for like the running time of the movie Forrest Gump. And I'm like,
I was too.
This is great though. I love the concept of this game. And I think I remember from the movie Forrest running for 4 years. So I'm going to say 4 years, 3 months, 2 weeks and 5 days.
Wow. That was specific.
Yeah. I didn't.
Yeah. You know what? You don't need to do weeks.
Okay. Then I'll do 4 years and 3 months.
That's too bad. I was really hoping it'd be one day over.
Yeah. That'd be a hilarious mistake.
Well, Greg is going, if Greg's on last, he can just do one day and real Price is Right.
I was going to literally just add a day to your number. That was going to be my guess. Now I'm robbed of my joke. All right.
It's very, very Price is Right of you to try to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you could also just bid 1 second or one, you know, minute, or I guess 1 hour is probably the lowest you'd want to go. Considering I said it's in years, months, days, and hours. So you know it's at least more than an hour. Ben David, what do you want to go with? What do you think? Do you like, was Forrest Gump, like, is that a movie for you? Is that something you're fond of?
You know, I have, like, sentimental feelings about it, but I have a struggle with how right-wing the movie is. Because it's sort of, the whole movie is Forrest being smarter than like every activist or political person,
right?
And then the one woman who's trying to just be free like gets like the worst kind of AIDS, I think. Like, it's got a very the movie's just a little rude to people who are Democrats and women, but mm-hmm. it has a fresh soundtrack of songs I've never heard in other movies. So that really goes a long way for me.
He's an enjoyable filmmaker. There's no getting around it. But like, even when the movie came out and everybody loved it, including me, I did love it at first. I still rolled my eyes hard into the back of my head when he gets splashed with mud and it makes a smiley face on his shirt, and then smiley face shirts become popular. That was where I was like, okay. And that's pretty deep into the movie before the AIDS.
You're like, before that, I'm in. Wait. Yeah. No, I'm just out.
It had some charming things in it for sure, but it's especially now as time marches forward, it does get weirder and more. It seems like less and less like a movie for everybody.
Yeah, and I guess the real thing that movie has, and I mean this earnestly, is like the score is so effective and emotional that I don't know if the movie actually is or not, but you're sort of, if you like get in the vibe of that movie, it really is like sad and stuff, but you know, great original soundtrack. So just, you know, that's really all my feelings about Forrest Gump. I mean, that summer, I think I was more like into The Shadow or something.
So, yeah.
When it came out. But yeah, you know, it's pretty good.
The box of chocolates thing becoming ubiquitous was a problem too. Just kind of it filtered through pop culture for like the next 3 years and became, you go to the shore and find box of chocolate t-shirts, which is a little bit too much.
It's a little bit like Austin Powers where like, yeah, that line was good, but to hear it a bunch outside of the movie diminishes the impact.
Yeah. Correct. And everybody can do the impression because they just say the line exactly the way the character says it. And the it's always a character with a, you know, outrageous voice, you know.
The best thing about Forrest Gump is also, this is the second time I've had 9/11 trivia on this show, that they wrote a Forrest Gump 2. And when 9/11 happened, apparently the writer and Zemeckis called each other and they were like, the world has changed. We shouldn't make a Forrest Gump 2. And they didn't.
Oh, so you're trying to find a weird silver lining in the what happened?
No, it was just trivia, man.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry.
It usually goes Patriot Act and then Forrest Gump 2 in that order. Yeah.
Wouldn't you need a Forrest Gump sequel more than ever after 9/11? Because like Forrest goes to space. Like, isn't that something we can all rally around?
Yeah, I don't understand that attitude. Like, oh, you know, it's not
unless
the right
they're
going to
like put him on one of the planes or something.
Well, the Patriot Act is why we didn't get Joe versus the Volcano too. All this thing is really the reason we didn't get a lot of Tom Hanks sequels is because of these situations. You know?
Right, he couldn't travel to the volcano. Yeah, obviously, and directly led to the terminal, ironically as well. So.
But that dude that wrote and directed Volcano had a bad experience directing the movie, even though I think it turned out brilliantly. He had a bad experience. So he didn't direct again for a while, but he's written a lot of good stuff. And his most recent movie, that Green Mountain Time or something like that.
Oh, my God, that movie.
It's not good.
Well, it's if I told you why it wasn't the twist ending, it is the greatest twist ending in the history of movies. And if I told you right now, you'd think I made it up.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna watch it now for sure.
You're gonna fall off your couch. But I just love that John Patrick Shanley wrote Moonstruck and then also wrote Congo.
Like, yeah.
That's it. Like the guy who wrote Moonstruck wrote Congo, and I think they're like a really good double feature.
He's got some interesting credits as a writer, and of course I've really liked some of his plays, and so I was psyched about this movie. You know, friend of the show John Hamm is in it, and foe of the show Amy Adams is in it, and I don't know what happened. I just lost steam on it because the reviews weren't good. But now this twist ending thing's got me excited because there's so rarely a good twist ending anymore, you know, because they just telegraph, you know, they always need to tell you that it's going to happen, you know, somehow. So it's Ben David's Turn to Bid.
We're playing a game.
Yeah, we're playing a game, you guys.
I'm going to guess 4 years and 4 months.
All right. I got my month window.
Yeah, it really is. Really is tight. Greg, what are you going to do with this?
1 hour, Doug.
You know what? I really respect your play. And I, you know, if I were a good host and time this out, I would take a break right now before revealing these very exciting results. But that's not how it's going to go. So I'm just going to tell you that Greg wins.
Oh, good. Yay. Or uh-oh. I don't know yet.
Because Mark led Ben David and himself astray with the 4 years thing.
Was it 2 years?
According to my sources, 3 years, 2 months, 14 days, and 16 hours.
Mm. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, so, Mark, why'd you do that to me?
Hey, look, I had the Jackson Brown song in my head, and I was just thinking about the, you know, wiping your face and coming up with a bumper sticker slogan. He did a lot of things during that 3 years that most humans, it would have taken you 4 years and 3 months.
Right. But we still have Greg Wyszynski as our winner,
hey.
Which means I'm so excited about this. You get to go first in our next, last, and most important game of the day. It's the OCB game presented by OCB Rolling Papers.
Hmm.
Hey, everybody. Today's show is presented by our friends, OCB Rolling Papers. OCB is the largest rolling paper brand in the world and has been one with nature, crafted naturally since 1918. So you know they've perfected the process for a consistently awesome session time after time. In perfect harmony with natural, sustainable practices, the highest quality textile papers responsibly sourced and sustainably crafted have always been the OCB signature. OCB offers a full line of papers made with sustainable fibers, including flax, wood, organic hemp, bamboo. They've got them all in a full line of sizes in both booklets and cones. I gave away a bunch of cones in Irvine recently. I hope to give away more at future Doug Loves Movies tapings. No GMOs, no chlorine, and no dyes in OCB papers. All OCB papers are plant to puff. OCB makes their paper from their mill in Avion. That's a real place, to the factories that they own in Perpignan, France. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. With all fibers and packaging material sustainably farmed from within a 500-kilometer radius and the Always Sticks acacia gum grown in African fields that OCB has been reforesting for decades. Unlike most other brands that buy their paper from a third party, OCB oversees the entire paper-making process, ensuring a century of quality straight to your hands. And best of all, their paper booklets are made in a facility that's powered by 100% green energy. Again, so awesome. In 2020, OCB rolled out America's first ultra-thin, slow-burning bamboo rolling paper and cones that have been taking the market by storm. Using only unbleached French milled bamboo, OCB is aiming to make bamboo your second favorite plant. Get it? As always, they are harvested responsibly, highly sustainable, chlorine-free, dye-free, bleach-free, even burning, GMO-free, and vegan. What? Ask for OCB wherever you buy your papers and sample the entire line of products. In the meantime, OCB has an unreal deal for our listeners. Visit OCBUSA.com/Doug to get 4 booklets of OCB and a rolling tray for only $4.99. This bundle's worth $20. Limited time only. Follow OCB on Instagram at OCBUSA to stay in touch with the natural wonder of OCB. Must be 21 and up to buy our papers and follow our social accounts. Back to the show.
Here's how the new and improved OCB game works. Yeah, it's called OCB game now because I figured out a different game to play under the banner supplied by our friends at OCB Rolling Papers. And also I was thinking with repeating winners like Sir Ben David Grabinski, it's good to not, you know, play the one version of the OCB game rolling with it. It's good not to play that, you know, too frequently because, you know, you get too good at the strategy of it. And so I'm going to mix it up with what's merely called the OCB game for this reason. Each question I ask of you all in this game, the answer is either O, C, or B. The OCB game.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill this one, man.
I think so. I think it is great at. First person gets a question. Answer O, C, or B. Get it wrong, the next person has it narrowed down to just two possibilities. So they have a chance to get a point. If they get it wrong, the third person gets the gimme. And then the next round starts with the first person again.
Wow.
Yeah. First to 3 points wins, or two if we're running behind. I think we're doing good.
hey, Mark, I just want to note that going first blows, actually. So,
hey, look, there's a reason why Ben David and I went 4 years. We wanted to be certain.
I should have said like a millennium.
There are some games where being first is really valuable. Like if it's a poll where there's like an obvious winner, but this probably isn't one of them.
Yeah, and I don't know how tough these questions are, but I do know that I'm going to be tough on the amount of time you get before answering. So you please answer within about 10 seconds or less when I call on you.
Okay.
Of course, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
you're getting a tiny little bit of schmodown timing in you, Doug.
Well, you know, some of these games, like if you know, it's very easy for somebody to filibuster their way to a correct answer. By just chatting about it for a bit, you know, or doing a riff about it. So, which I encourage. It's supposed to be a fun show, but give me your answer quickly and then riff all you want after that. Mark Ellis. Oh, wait, I got to write down one more thing. I didn't write down a place for you guys to accrue your points.
And it's Greg's going first, I believe, but.
Okay.
But Greg, if you wanted to ask me something else, I'm here
for
you.
You had it right, Doug, actually.
No, it's Greg. Mark. It's Greg, then Mark, then Ben David.
I'm not 100% sure I understand how this works. Maybe I'll figure it out after you go through. Great.
Oh, you'll be like, oh, this is how it works. Like 20 minutes after we're done with the show.
Okay.
And it's O, C, and B as in B.
B is right. in Jerry Seinfeld's B movie.
Mm. There's another B movie that recently came out, Ben David.
Wait, what?
What?
Oh, no comment. No comment.
Okay. All right. Greg, here's your first question. Answer O, C, or B. Julia Roberts lends her voice to an animated movie that starts with O, C, or B. The title of this movie starts with O, C, or B. Which one is it?
I will go B.
B is incorrect. So now we go to Mark. And that leaves you with O or C. Julia Roberts, animated movie. She doesn't do a lot of them, just a couple by my count. One of them starts with O or C. Which letter is it?
Yeah, I think it is C, Doug.
All right. You do not have to explain why you're guessing C. You can wait until I tell you whether or not it's right or wrong. I like the way you're playing this. Very coy.
Yeah.
Which also begins with the letter C. C is correct. What's the name of the movie, Mark?
That's where I might need a little more than 10 seconds.
Well, there's no bonus point or anything for saying Charlotte's Web. She's the voice.
Oh, right.
She's okay. The voice of the web in Charlotte's Web. She's like, ow, ow, quit stepping on me, Charlotte. Okay.
Wow. Right.
She was also a voice in The Ant Bully.
Huh. Interesting project.
Great position. Sure. It's a great position if you can get it to being an ant bully.
Yeah, I mean, aren't we all?
Deep down. I try to be cool with them, but, you know, sometimes you just gotta say nope. We're trying to have a picnic here, ants. what just happened. I'll tell you what just happened. Mark Ellis is on the board with 1 point. Then David Grabinski was locked out of that one, but he gets to go first on this next question. A real brain tickler. Good luck, Ben David. Steven Spielberg's 23rd feature film as director, give or take a movie or two, begins, depending on what you define as a movie, begins with what letter? O, C, or B? 23 movies into Stevie's career. Which one do you think it is, Ben David?
I don't like this one.
Right? So, there's so much you have to go through in your head in so little time.
I know.
It's one of those kick yourself when you find out.
I'm kicking myself already.
O, C, or B? Just pick one.
B.
B is... B is... incorrect.
Hmm. Well, I'm finally done. I'm going to lose.
We go to Greg.
Boy, I really thought
there's
it was
lots
B,
lots more game to come.
But go ahead, it was B, too.
I thought it was B, too. I'll go C.
You're going C?
Yeah.
Serious about this?
Because the incorrect B is off the board, which is the one that I thought it was going to be.
All right, if you're going C, then that is correct. The film is called Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, I was really thinking it was because he did. I think he did. Are we doing those in this one? Is that real or no?
I was with Greg. I was going BFG.
Yeah, because he did. But he did Bridge of Spies like right around there too. Oh, right. So I thought it was one of those two.
That's why I did B. There's like two B.
But if you do the math now in your heads, Catch Me If You Can came quite a few years before all those Bs, and no O's in his entire filmography.
Wow.
But that means that Greg is also on the board with 1 point. And Mark is first up. Ready, Mark?
Yes, sir.
Idris Elba. Just everybody is saying amazing in The Suicide Squad. Idris Elba plays the police chief who is a yak or some shit in Zootopia. Does his last name, he's like chief of police, he's a police chief. Does his last name begin with an O, a C, or a B?
Oh man, that is a deep cut, Doug.
Or, you know, have a kid watch Zootopia too many times.
No, I'll take the loss. Thank you. I'm going to say that his last name starts with O. He plays a cop. I'm going to guess there's some sort of Irish heritage, like an O'Malley situation.
Mm. Okay. Here's my response to that. Incorrect.
Damn. I was really hoping that his last name was or some shit, and Doug was actually giving it away in the question.
Yeah.
So if you have a kid, does that mean you automatically know the last name of every supporting character in an animated movie?
No, but another way to look at it is that if you were a kid obviously Zootopia, you weren't a kid, but you probably know the last names of some classic animated characters. This is like, Zootopia is a big deal to some people, not to us.
I don't know Timon or Pumbaa's last names, but
Johnson.
Right, but you know two out of two of their first names.
All right, so I'm just going to guess B.
That is correct.
Oh.
You did it.
Wow.
His name, get this. Go ahead.
No, I got nothing.
Oh. Okay. his name is Chief Bogo. And I think, without doing any research, that is a nod to Chief Bogomil, or rather Lieutenant Bogomil, in the Beverly Hills Cop movies.
Wow.
Yep. I'd co-sign that.
All right.
Right? That seems super obvious. I love finding those. And That means that Ben David is on the board. We've got a three-way tie. So much for you're going to lose today, Ben David. You are in the mix.
Wow. I bet you $50 I lose, but let's go.
Okay, I'm in the huddle. I love that bet. Wait, do I? I gotta pay you and have you back on again. Wait a second. Okay.
I've listened to the last couple of episodes, and this negging thing that you do when you are going to win a game, and all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, I might not win.
Yeah.
Seems pretty effective. And I don't know if it's psychological warfare against me and Mark, or if it's just to psych yourself up to win. What is it?
We establish it's a hustle based on the color of money.
Yeah.
And that's just my approach. So,
yeah.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
I think that's why. 100% honest. I think that Ben David is kicking himself and is so thrilled that he knew the last name of the cop in Zootopia. I think that secretly that's like a big thing in his life.
Well, in that honor means of Zootopia 2 will start with Chief Bogo getting killed, and then they have to solve that murder.
Yeah, there was not enough murder in Zootopia for sure. let's go to Greg again. Greg, you start us off on this next one.
All right.
Harrison Ford has made more movies that begin with the letter O, C, or B, and movies that begin with the word the begin with T. So that takes them all out of the running.
Takes them off the running.
Somebody mentioned it earlier. I'm sorry that I didn't mention it. I forgot that I was playing with professionals who, of course, would take that into account because, you know, T is such, the word the is just so, so prevalent in film titles, from The Jaws to the Deja Vu.
Okay, I was going to say, is that the full question?
Yeah. Yeah, Harrison Ford, more movies to begin with O, C, or B?
C.
C is correct.
Yes.
Hang on. I don't know how that got in the other room. Maybe the dog. O, the letter O, goose egg, Harrison Ford. Maybe it's a superstition thing. He's never messed with it. No O titles.
It was just B2, right? I think. Or?
And B would be both Blade Runners.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought.
That's where his B's come from. And then not his bonnet. And then the letter C three times. Clear and Present Danger, Crossing Over, and Cowboys and Aliens. And
oh, wait. I one more. Call of the Wild was one too, wasn't it?
The Call of the Wild.
Oh, is it The Call of the Wild? Well,
it sure is.
I just goofed my way. I stumbled into this one, Doug.
Yeah. Also, The Conversation. So if you allow those, Harrison Ford really went crazy with the C word. And he made 5 C word movies. And who got the point on that one? That was Mark.
I got it.
Ben?
I was.
David? Ben David?
No, I did not.
I believe it was Greg, Doug. I hate to give him credit, but he knew it. Okay.
See, I told you guys before we started that your voices all sound similar. So this is bound to happen, but I'm glad we worked it out. Greg has 2 points. Mark has 1. Ben David has 1. Mark, you're up first on this one. That really worked out good going first on that last one for Greg. He nailed it. Yeah. See what you can do with this.
Kind of, again, just stumbled my way into it. The Call of the Wild. Who knew?
Who knew? Mark, the Coen brothers have never made a movie that begins with O, C, or B. Which of those letters have never been the first letter in the title of a Coen brothers film? I'm counting the movies they've, you know, produced and directed together and taken co-credit. What do you think?
Oh boy.
O, C, or B.
I think that they have never made a movie that starts with the letter C.
That is correct. And oh brother, have they gone crazy with the letter O is only O, brother, where art thou? But the letter B is absolutely nuts. Blood Simple, Barton Fink, Burn After Reading, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, The Big Lebowski. They like the letter B in their titles. Those brothers. Yeah. Those brothers are fond of the letter B. And Mark has another point. This is really shaping up in an exciting way. Ben David gets to go first in the next round. He could turn this into a three-way tie if he can just figure this one out quickly and correctly. The second movie, Ben David, that has Brad Pitt and George Clooney in it begins, the title begins with what letter, O, C, or B?
Second movie.
The second movie that Brad Pitt and George Clooney both appear in. As we know, they worked together several times. What was the second one? What did it begin with? O, C, or B? Give me your answer, please.
Oh, no. I know it's not O because I'm forgetting something, but I can't think of what the fuck it is. So I'm just going to have to say O.
O is, I'm sorry, incorrect.
Wow.
We go to Greg.
That's a
C or B.
God. Okay. There's got to be. I'll take C.
Yep.
The second movie that they worked on together, one directed, and they both don't have huge parts in, but they're both in it, is called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, beginning with letter C.
That was because Burn After Reading came after Oceans, at least Oceans 12. So I knew it couldn't have been that.
Yeah.
So I figured it was something I was.
I knew that they were in another movie together, but I could not remember which one it was. I totally could not remember those confessions.
That was a pure function of having gone after you, man, because if you took Ocean's 12 off the board, so I figured it was something I was missing.
Yeah, exactly. It's just definitely a mislead there because, of course, they were in three Ocean's movies together. But as far as the B letter goes, the two of them together was only Burn After Reading, which would be their fifth movie together. And they haven't been in a movie, both of them in the same movie again since that movie. But guess what? Greg Rashinsky.
Oh my God.
You just ended an amazing run.
Oh, I feel great, but horrible.
Grabinski. Rashinsky takes down Grabinski. It's with Mark Ellis right there to see it all happen.
Do we all owe Ben $50 now?
Oh, wait. Is that how that works?
Did I make
I think Greg should have to pay Ben more because he won.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But I'm wondering, did I make you sad or is this freeing? Did I free you?
Well, that's a great question. Ben David Grabinski, how do you, this is like the post-game interview where you finally lost a run of games. How are you feeling about it?
I feel like Moses when he didn't get to enter the promised land. I just am sort of just staring off into the distance.
Well, you know, four wins.
A sad time.
Four wins is nothing to sneeze at, as they say, because the only person that's got more wins than you at this point is Claire Kramer with five, and then there's a few people with 3, 2, and 1 back, you know, down behind you. But you are currently our second in second place on the leaderboard, and it's been great having you. Happily is on the places where you get movies after they've been out for a couple of seconds. And anything else you'd like to promote or uplift?
I'd like to promote this movie called Wild Mountain Time, which is about Emily Blunt has a neighbor who she's in love with and he spends 90 minutes turning her down. That's literally the premise of the movie.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. And then there's a twist. He's a ghost or something. But anyway, whatever it is, I'm very excited to watch it now. And I won't even cheat and jump to the end. Because when it's a twist movie, even the worst ones, I find it excruciatingly delightful to have to ride it out to get to the twist. Because then you get to be extra, extra mad at having wasted your time. Mark Ellis, the Smowdown is out of control. There's so many matches, so many amazing contests that you put on all the time for people. That tell people, how do you sign up to watch these things?
You can check it all out on YouTube is our hub, and we have some live events coming back in New York is first up. In Brooklyn, Woo! We got a big theater there in October. And this actually on July 31st, Doug, you have a big show. But before that, people can check out The Collision, which is four matches in one day, headlined by Kevin Smith, versus Marisol McKee. And whoever wins that gets to contend against Dan Merle for the singles championship belt of the world. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And thanks for having me again. I'm going to watch Wild Mountain Time too, because I remember hearing about the movie. And since I recommended Old, we all know I love a good twist. And so this is going to be fun to banter about back and forth. Ben David has sent us down a rabbit hole, and I will finish the mission.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We'll discuss it on the Doug Loves Movies Twitter account. And I want to, you know, of course, I have only competed once in the Schmodown, and that was via Zoom. And now that you're going back to, you know, in-person matches, I'm excited to, you know, throw my, what do you do? I don't throw my hat into the ring. Is that right? Yeah, you throw your towel
You can throw your hat. No, towel means you give up.
Don't throw a towel. Don't throw the towel.
Yeah, don't throw the towel.
I'm throwing a hat. I'm throwing a hat at you, hitting you squarely in the face with a fedora that, I want to come back and compete. Fedora. My captain. My captain, they're soft hats. My captain, Sam Levine, Sam the Man Levine is my captain. Captain. And he, he's trying to get me another match. So hopefully that'll happen soon.
Hopefully it's live. The kids love you, Doug, and we love you being a part of the show. So thank you for being part of our family.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. And thank you to Greg Wyshynski, who will become now a dangling champ, because we've got a few shows coming up where we're taking it out on the road next Saturday. A couple days from now, we're in San Diego. And then the following Saturday is San Antonio. And the one after that is a Sack of Tomatoes, California. And then... and then a week off, and then the very last weekend of August is Indianapolis. These are all Saturdays at 4:20 in each of those towns, doing Douglas movies, and then posting those, in our regular time slots. And we'll be supplementing shows with Zoom shows. So I hope it's the best of both worlds for everybody as we move back out into the world. And Greg Wyshynski, what do you have to plug?
Well, first off, it's awesome. I'm so happy that you're back on the road and doing shows in front of live audiences. It's the best show ever to watch live.
You
can read my stuff on ESPN.com. If you like the hockey stuff, I have a podcast called Puck Soup, which is hockey and pop culture. And then also we have a Patreon where if you're a Top Chef fan, you can find all the episodes we did for this season of Top Chef. We have a podcast called Mise-en-Pod that covers Top Chef and does episode reviews. You can find that on the Puck Soup Patreon. And I'd also recommend Wild Mountain Time as a great buzz.
Okay.
This movie has so much hype behind it now.
Yeah, it's overhyped, but in a good way, I guess. They sent me some stuff to, promote the movie when it came out. Some really nice, they sent me some beer bread mix and the ingredients you need to make this alcohol, like bread with alcohol in it. And it was, I gotta say, it was pretty delicious. And I really hoped that the movie would be great. And I heard that it wasn't. So I just haven't gotten around to seeing it. So this is all coming together very nicely. In fact, I'll probably give away something. I'll probably give away maybe I've got some sort of Wild Mountain Time thing I can give away on the show on Saturday. No promises, but I might have like a hat or something. I'm definitely giving away a painting from Paint Your Life, a company that you send them a picture and they'll make a painting of it. And I'm going to reveal that on my socials sometime today or tomorrow. I'm giving that away on Saturday.
Ooh, and, that's cool.
Yeah, and lots of other big prizes, because I got a lot of stuff piled up during the pandemic, and San Diego is drivable, so I'll be able to bring a couple of the bigger things that I've been given. I've got this really nice robe that says something about being a motherfucker, because it's from it's a line that Sam Jackson says in the robe says Hitman's bodyguard's wife, but then it also says something about some sort of F word thing on there. So that's always fun, especially, you know, if you got kids around. And did I have any other Doug plugs I wanted to do, or am I satisfied with how that worked out? Yeah, DougLovesMovies.com for more info on all those dates I was just talking about. Thank you once again to all three of my guests, Mark Ellis, Ben David Grabinski, and Greg Wyszynski. We'll have you back on the show soon, Greg. And of course, everyone, open door policy. Let me know anytime you want to come back. And as always, and sadly for the last time, we need new friends.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.